this is a movie.
Keep repeating. It's only a movie. Only a movie. Only a movie.
I love movies. Gosh, I love movies.
Listen to the Matt and Mark Movie Show.
We had to kick. It's not a podcast unless we have to kick the podcast cat out of the studio.
That's when you know you're really rolling and it's going to be good.
That's right. That's when you're making podcast magic.
So much magic.
Hello. Welcome to the Matt and Mark Movie Show. It's a bonus episode. I do this spiel at the top of every bonus episode, but I'm going to do it again. We're calling this a bonus episode because that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. We've done a couple of these before.
Yep.
I should say the producer in the booth is here with me. She's
Hi.
My guest. Hello. We recently went to Las Vegas, and that's what this podcast is. You're going to hear us kind of do our usual bonus special episode travelogue kind of recap of our trip. I do want to preface with a couple things really quick. If you're new or this is your first episode, this is usually not what this podcast is. But we have done a few of these and people like them. So we've covered our Disneyland trips. We've covered that kind of stuff. So If you want that, it is in the feed. Go check it out. I think this will be our third or fourth bonus episode.
Third. I think this is the first non-Disney travel bonus episode.
Yeah.
Guys, we went somewhere other than Disney.
We went to the Disneyland of adults.
Woo!
Las Vegas 2024. And just so you know, obviously I should state, our sound setup is slightly different because, you know, Jess and I live together. I don't know if you guys knew that. But since we live together, I know, we're sharing one mic because we're not in a studio. We're not wired with a bunch of different mics and stuff. So it sounds a little bit different and we've acknowledged it and there it is.
Just deal with it.
Fucking deal. Deal or no deal.
And if you want it to sound better, then pony up some mics for us.
That's right. So, yes, we went to Las Vegas, the Disneyland of adults. And as of this recording, it is February of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Movie people, just so you know, we only really watched one movie in Las Vegas. It was Clue.
Yes.
We both love Clue.
So good.
But we're not going to be talking about Clue. But there is stuff for movie fans in this podcast. Namely, we did a lot of cool, like, pop culture adjacent stuff. There's a lot to do in Vegas. And we'll tease a bit of that as we go through. But we went to the Pinball Hall of Fame. I put up a little mini doc about this on our socials and on the Patreon. Very cool. Lots of movie-themed pinball machines. We went to Omega Mart.
Oh my gosh.
We'll cover all this, but I'm just giving you a little tease. We went to a magic show. Can't go to Vegas and not go to a magic show.
Very true.
We went to Limitless, the Shin Lim. Limitless. And we also went to Dita Las Vegas. Again, you can't go to Vegas and not go to magic, and you can't not see showgirls.
This is also very true.
Right. So we went to Dita Las Vegas, a showgirls extravaganza, a celebration of the history of showgirls, basically.
Yes.
So there you go. That's what we'll be talking about on this episode. Jess, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, like, for real on the podcast, not just...
You like doing this,
I do.
Right?
Okay. I do like doing the podcast.
Because I think sometimes people listen in and they're like, is she really wanting to do this?
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to be here and be on the podcast. I love talking. You guys should just hear me chit-chat throughout the day. You can't make me stop.
And we should say, when we went to Vegas, this was kind of your idea.
Yes, I saw...
Do you want to tell the people why we went?
Well, I love Dita Von Teese and all of her burlesque shows. I've seen her multiple times. And when this one was announced, it was like the biggest show that she's ever done. And I had to go see it. So I bought tickets when they went on sale last June.
Yeah, like six or eight months ahead of time, basically.
And that was the main reason we went to Vegas, because I demanded to go see a burlesque booby show. And
yeah, we didn't go because we're not even big gamblers.
No.
Right? I think that's the main question, I think, right now, if you're listening. You're like, well, did they go to gamble? How much did they win? What did they lose? For the record, we won nothing.
Yeah, I just recuperated $40 of my own money.
Right.
But we still...
But we spent like 200 something dollars to get to that $40.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I would have had more fun lighting the money on fire, although I'm going to be honest, playing roulette and learning how to play roulette, I kind of got a little taste and I was like, ooh, I could definitely spend some more time at this table. And then you realize each bet is $25.
That's the minimum.
That's the minimum bet.
Minimum bet.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't gamble that much. We played a little roulette. We played some slots. We really lost a lot of money on the slots. I found some fun pop culture slot machines, like a Little Shop of Horrors machine I found and never found again.
Yeah, I wonder if it was like a mirage.
It might have been. And then I found a Game of Thrones one, a Frankenstein, like a classic Universal Monsters Frankenstein slot machine that took all my money.
All of it.
You guys know I love Frankenstein, and it fucking took all my fucking money. And there were a couple more that I think I saw, like, there was a Wonder Woman one.
Oh, yeah, there was a Wonder Woman one.
Like an old school, like a not Gal Gadot, there was like a Linda Carter, like a 70s Wonder Woman slot machine. Mm-hmm. That's how they get you. And Jess was explaining to me, because you were like, dang, don't play too many of those machines.
Oh, right, because we had watched a video, because we had to do research.
Yeah.
And this lady, you know, covers Vegas and whatnot. And so she was saying that any of the licensed property slot machines, they have to recoup their money and pay the license. So they're not going to pay out as much as another slot machine.
So the percentage of payouts is even lower
than
on the other machines.
Yeah.
That's already astronomically low.
Exactly.
Yeah. As you can see, we're not big gamblers. We couldn't go to Vegas and not gamble and play some slots.
Totally.
But we don't fucking know what we're doing.
No, I just know it's a numbers game and the odds are not in my favor.
Yes. And since we're not big gamblers, this could go to one thing I wanted to bring up, because I'm wondering, people might be wondering, where did you guys stay?
Right.
And I actually think this is a vital part of this story. We stayed at a place called the Vidara, which is a wonderful, wonderful hotel. Because of two reasons. One, it has no casino inside.
Love that.
So what that is it means everywhere you go in Vegas is constant nonstop overstimulation. There's slot machines, lights, noise, people like, woo girls wooing, right? At the Vidara was like a safe haven away from all that stuff. It felt like a sanctuary because it was quiet and had no casino presence at all.
Yeah, it was really great after being out in it for hours on end. You're like, oh my god, I just need like the calm zenness of this hotel.
Yes, and it was connected, we should say, to two other properties. It was connected to the Aria,
yes,
which was the next, basically like your next door neighbor hotel, and it was also connected to the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, and the Bellagio.
And the Bellagio via a fucking crazy network of inner corridors.
Oh my god.
That Vegas is basically, if you've never been, and this was my first time ever, Jess, is you were there as a kid.
I was there as a kid, so it's been like over 25 years since I've been to Vegas. And when I went to Vegas, my dad lived out there, so it's not like we were on the strip all the time. I'd go to the strip maybe once a trip to go see a show and get dinner. And maybe walk through a hotel that the show was at.
You went to
the
sexy Cirque du Soleil show.
No.
What was that sexy one called?
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember coming.
Is it Zoomanity, where they dress as animals and they?
Oh my god.
That one always seems kind of perverse to me.
It might have been. I don't think it was that one. But anyway, yeah, I remember coming off the plane, like landing, you know, and at that time, and I still do. I love Cirque du Soleil. And
Cirque du Soleil is fucking awesome.
They're great.
I will go to bat for Cirque
du Soleil. I love
them.
Okay, but we land. We meet my dad at the airport. He picks my sister and I up. And I see an ad for a new Cirque du Soleil show. I'm like, oh my god, dad, can we see that? And he goes, no. And then come to find out,
it's definitely got to be the zoo. It's got to be the animal.
Got it? Yeah, it's like the sexy one, and I'm really glad that got shut down pretty quickly. Like, I don't want to see that with my dad.
It's not trapezes; it's sex swings as they swing past the audience. I don't know what it is.
Oh my god!
I'm just making it up. But yes, yeah, so we stayed in the Vidara, and I wanted to talk about the fact that really quick, everywhere in Vegas, if you want to get anywhere, you can walk out on the Strip, but if you want to like be like a mole man, you could walk to basically like 10 other casinos and never have to step outside.
Yeah, you might see some sunshine from some of the walkway windows,
yes,
but you don't have to step outside. But even walking outside, walking in Vegas was wild. Like, I thought you could just walk on the sidewalks. Well, no. There are some portions that don't really have sidewalks, and you have to go up these like giant like walking over passes.
Yes.
And it's multiple times. Like, to cross, there's only like two cross points, and they're like blocks apart.
Yep.
And we got lost, which hurt my pride because I am fairly good at directions, but I got us lost twice.
Don't be modest. You're kind of a human GPS.
I can be,
yeah. But that's what was kind of hilarious was, in Vegas, for whatever reason,
it was gone.
All your senses were gone. And I'm fucking useless in those situations. I don't care. I don't fucking give a shit. I'll use Google Maps.
But even Google Maps was wrong.
Google Maps was constantly wrong.
Yeah.
But I will use... That's how intricate and crazy and backwards the inner walkways are of Las Vegas. I cannot stress that enough. Like, it's fucking weird. It's kind of cool, but it is fucking weird to be like, okay, I have to chart a course,
yep,
where I will never go outside,
yep,
where I go from my hotel room to the lobby, through a walkway, mm-hmm, through one hotel, through another casino, through three other hotels,
yep,
past all these shops, just to get to the point where I can exit if I want.
And cross the street.
And cross the street to the place I want to go.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
It is crazy.
It's not what I think of, like, when I see, because before I went, all I had were, like, movies and TV shows, mm-hmm, to, like, hold this against, right? And, I think the Las Vegas Strip, as I have seen it in movies, that is not the Strip that I experienced. That is what I understand is, like, old Vegas,
yeah,
right?
I think now it's called Fremont Street, but I believe it was or is called Glitter Gulch.
I love that, Glitter Gulch. We didn't go this time to Glitter Gulch
or
Fremont.
Time.
We were on the current Strip, which is Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yes.
And it's crazy. There are like, it's exactly what you think it is. It's like a lot of the, same crazy forced perspective skyline stuff that they do in Disney where you're like, oh, look, there's a fake Eiffel Tower. Look, there's a Sphinx. Look. And all the shit's jammed up together. Look, there's a fake Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Look, there's a roller coaster. You know the roller coaster they talk about in the movie Dodgeball where he's like, I hope he fall off the roller coaster and break every bone in his body.
We saw it.
We saw that actual roller coaster.
And it was terrifying.
Another awesome thing really quick that I want to say that I've told my friend, I told my buddy Simon about this was that it's funny that everything in Vegas is covered in ads. And I mean everything because
there's a
famous resort casino called the Luxor, which, mm-hmm, is like a pyramid. Okay. And during the nighttime, it looks incredible. It's like this, it looks like some shit out of Tron Legacy where it's like lit up on the angles and, yep, this beam of light shoots out of the top. It looks like a sky beam, like at the end of a Marvel movie,
yeah,
or something.
Totally, okay? Totally. Like some shit's going to come out
of
there.
I'm not exaggerating. It lights up the whole fucking sky. But during the day, Doritos has purchased a massive ad where they've covered the Luxor pyramid in Dorito. It looks like a giant Dorito
chip.
Pointing, yeah, one single giant Dorito chip pointing to the sky.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, I think your mileage will vary on that kind of stuff. To me, it's kitschy and hilarious, and I love it. It adds to my trip, but I'm also a fucking jerk, so don't take my word for it. Some seasoned traveler would look at that and be like, I'm disgusted.
Well, I'm like, it's hilarious, but also disgusting. Come on, guys. Like, put yeah, it on the side of the Luxor, not the front-facing
side. The fucking
side.
Front is,
jeez,
a giant Dorito chip. I cannot stress
God,
that
it was
enough.
So, it was, look, it was great and hilarious, but it was also
it was hilarious.
Ugly.
Come on, it was
so
hilarious.
So ugly.
Okay, so there you go. I think we can... You want to move on to some of the crazy excursions and experiences that we did?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start
off... Wait, no, I have one other thing regarding hotels.
Okay, go for it. Fuck it.
Make sure you know what hotel you are going to. because there are two MGM hotels, and I found out the hard way, okay? There's the MGM Grand, which is sad and disgusting.
That's the sad one.
That's the sad one.
Okay.
And then there's Park MGM.
That's the nice one.
That's the nice one.
Okay, so there you go, guys. Grand, it's kind of the opposite of the name.
Yeah.
Grand, there's nothing grand about it. Park, which you would associate with where homeless people sleep, is actually the nice one.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Park MGM, not Grand.
No, yeah, your Uber driver will go, oh,
yeah,
really?
We told, we had the douchiest Uber driver. We had nothing but douchey Uber drivers this trip, but this one particular guy, we won't belabor this point too much, but he was like, where are you guys going? And we're like, oh, we're going to MGM. And he said, why? And he said, we're going to breakfast. And this should have been our sign right away that we fucked up. He was like, oh, like he was very mystified.
Yeah, like, oh, really?
That we would choose to go to breakfast there. And we were like, well, what the fuck does this guy know?
Well, he knew.
He knew, because when we arrived at the MGM Grand, it was like being, if you've ever been to New York, it was like being in fucking Port Authority.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
But like Port Authority in the dingy part. Not in any nice, whatever, clean
parts. Are there
parts.
Any nice parts of Port Authority?
There might be. I don't know. But I'm saying, if it seems a little nice, find a dingy part, and that's what it was like.
Yes, it was fucking suspect.
Oh.
And there were no breakfast places. That's why that guy was mystified.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to go, I just want to call him out. We were trying to go to this nice restaurant called Primrose, which I highly recommend.
So good.
And we'll talk a bit about the food later on in the episode.
We'll get there.
But we really wanted to go to Primrose. It looked like this fun sort of southern, big southern breakfast style kind of place. And that's located at the Park MGM.
Yep.
Where nice things are.
Yep.
MGM Grand only had like two crackheads, an old Sbarro pizza.
Yeah.
It was sad.
And it was just like a haze of smoke, like old cigarette smoke.
But also like meth smoke.
Yeah.
Didn't you get like a meth kind of vibe when you walked in?
I don't really know what meth smells like, but yeah, it had a vibe.
It's kind of what I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so
now we can move on.
Now we've survived the MGM Grand, and you have too. Our first bit that I actually forgot to tease at the beginning of the episode was one of the cool things that we did that you guys might care about is we actually went to the Stranger Things store on Las Vegas Boulevard.
It was cool.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it? What did you think of your trip to the store?
Oh, it was great. A lot of photo ops, but it was also really well curated with Stranger Things merch and books. And I can't watch Stranger Things because I'm a little baby and I'm scared of everything. But
you could totally watch it now.
Well,
though.
Now I can.
It's turned into like a very PG family,
of course,
kind of show.
The first two episodes of
the first season threw you for a little bit.
Couldn't do it. But anyways, really loved the experience of the walkthroughs. Like they had the big Stranger Things logo lit up,
which
in
you
neon.
Can actually see on our Instagram.
I posted.
Yeah,
and it's on like this glossy black room. And it's so stunning, like, just from an artist craft standpoint. That was really great. They had the recreation of the room with the string lights and the couch.
Yeah, they had the at the buyer's house with the lights from season. It was cool. Each section of the store was kind of broken up by season, so you could walk through all the photo ops, like, there are giant Funkos of like Eddie and you know, like a big poster photo op with the bikes. You could be riding away from the Mind Flayer and stuff, but there would be like, okay, you'd enter one room at the store and it would be like season one, here's the lights on the wall in Joyce's house.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd go season two, there would be like vines and shit everywhere. Season three, it was cool, there was like some kind of summer camp kind of stuff. And then there was even season four, like there was a Vecna.
Yeah, there was a giant Vecna like coming out of the wall.
And like a Creel house, like, you know, the old grandfather clock. And there were cool photo ops with Vecna too, like popping out of the wall.
Yeah.
Like HHN level photo ops.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't one of these shitty places where you're like, it's a photo op and it's like a cardboard cutout. Like they had big statues and standees and, well, not standees, but like big statues and I even
Demogorgons
and
Demodogs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That one was really fun. And I love seeing the merch as well.
Yeah, totally. And they had also a Palace Arcade, which was cool, recreated from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like arcade cabinets from the show the like, they didn't just have, like, five, you know, here's Pac-Man, though. It was like, here's Dig Dug, because that's what they played in season two.
Yeah, like, the level of detail was really cool.
Really cool. I would not expect... It's just crazy that a Stranger Things pop-up store... It's when I think pop-up store, I think it pops up for a week and then it's gone. Like, that's kind of how what I'm used to. But, like, this has been around for over a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it going anywhere. It seems like it's going to be kind of a fixture on the strip, at least. I mean, we got another season coming, yeah. So it's definitely still going to be there.
I have a feeling they're calling it a pop-up, so then if it doesn't do well, they can be like, okay.
It was just a pop-up
shutting
store.
Shutting it down.
Sure.
But yeah, I think it's going to stay for a while, another couple years, if that. Because it was pretty busy, too. And
it was, yeah. There was a
big
crowd.
We were there on, like, a Thursday.
Yeah. Well, also, too... You know, we should say this time of year in Vegas, it's kind of cool. It's the desert.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, in the mornings and in the evenings and at night, it's fucking cold. Now, during the day, the sun does come out. But, like, I can imagine during the warmer months that the Stranger Things pop-up store is probably even more popular than it is now because people want to get the fuck out of the sun.
Oh, yeah. And it's free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can just walk in. It costs you nothing. You don't have to buy anything, and you could experience all these photo ops, see all the cool Stranger Things stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely recommend checking out the Stranger Things pop-up store on the Strip, for
definitely.
Sure. Yeah, it was very cool. All right. I want to talk about... These are kind of out of order. Sometimes we do these chronologically, but I wanted to, like, kind of throw out... Okay,
let's do it.
Let's talk about Omega Mart. Do you want to tell the people at home, like, what Meow Wolf is?
From what, like, well, my own words, Meow Wolf is, I guess, a company making really incredible, immersive art experiences.
Yes.
And there's multiple locations throughout the states. I think there's two or three. I know there's one in, Mexico.
Yo, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Right.
Sorry, New Mexico.
Yeah, don't go to Mexico.
No,
and
no,
look
no.
For Meow Wolf.
It's I think it's either in Albuquerque or Santa Fe. Either one of those.
If you go to Mexico and ask for Meow Wolf, it's gonna be like a drug dealer guy.
Yeah,
that comes out.
Don't do that.
You ask for the Meow Wolf.
The Meow Wolf. Yes.
He will see you now.
Woo! Yeah, that's not gonna be. I mean, you'll have a good story.
New Mexico, I think, is where they're based. And we should say Meow Wolf is the company or the studio that created Omega Mart.
Yes, it's part of like Omega Mart is part of them.
Yes.
And so so we went to Omega Mart and we got VIP tickets, which I highly recommend. Like, you know, it's not always worth having a VIP experience, but for this one, it is, because it adds to the story and it adds to your experience at Omega Mart as well. Like, yeah, you could get tickets and just walk through it and experience it. But if you get the VIP experience, you get a card.
Yes.
That you can then tap or boop. You boop it.
Yeah. I actually have it here. It says boop here. Omega Mart access card. And it basically treats you...
Like an employee.
Like an employee. So we should say what Omega Mart is it's a high concept... It's fake, but it's a high concept interdimensional grocery store. Is that fair to say?
I think so. Yeah.
It's like it reminded me of somewhere between like Omega Mart is like if Twin Peaks and Rick and Morty had a grocery store.
Yes.
And all the products in it are weird. They're all like things that don't exist, like Tamalgamations, which are like weird tomatoes.
Right.
There's like corn drills. They're like power drills that are made of corn.
I got a banana flask.
You got a banana flask. There's a whole chicken, a tattooed chicken.
Yes, I got a stuffed tattooed chicken.
They're like these wild, like Rick and Morty like products. And by the way, they're all for sale.
Yeah, you can buy everything
off
the shelf.
You can pull something off the shelf at Omega Mart. And so that's what we're talking about. So if you do that, kind of similar to a regular grocery store where there'll be, like, little kiosks or points for you to check, like, a price on something.
Yep.
Okay, you take your boop card and you boop.
You boop it.
You boop it and you get points. You amass things on your Omega Mart profile that help unlock a story. They give you achievements.
Mm-hmm.
But you do only get that with the VIP pass.
Yeah.
But I recommend getting the VIP pass. Not only is it cool just to get this kind of stuff and you get some added swag, but also you get into the exclusive bar. There's like an Omega Mart bar that you get to attend.
You get a free drink.
And you get a free drink in there.
And not just like a whatever drink, like a nice alcoholic beverage, which I thoroughly
Which are just
enjoy.
As weird as the products in the store.
Yes, so they were making an old fashioned. I saw it because I didn't order it. They were making an old fashioned that was blue. And they had the, I guess it was blue Curacao or something, in a Windex spray bottle, spraying the cocktail with it. And mentally, you're like, you're spraying Windex. What are you doing to this cocktail? Like, you know it's so wrong. But then you're like, wait a minute. I'm in Omega Mart. It's going to be okay.
It doesn't exist. That Windex doesn't exist in the Omega Mart dimension. It
doesn't exist. But you see that bottle and you immediately are like, poison, don't do it. Don't drink it. Oh, wait, that man's drinking it. Oh, he seems to be enjoying it. It's fine.
Yes.
It's just...
Because they taste great. Like, I had I was boring on this trip. I had to take... full disclosure, I had to take antibiotics, so I couldn't drink on this trip. But... So I had to like, play it super safe. So when I went to Omega Mart, I went to the bar. The one virgin drink they made was, like, this... It tasted like an orange Julius. It was, like, an orange creamsicle drink.
Yeah.
But it had some weird Omega Marty kind of name. But... Omega Mart is fucking awesome because you might walk in and just think, oh, it's just this cool sort of photo op, Instagrammable place that looks like a weird department store out of like another dimension, but there's more to it narratively and experientially because there was a bit in the store that looked like a tent, just a tent popped up in the side of the store.
Almost like a... hey, look at this tent gear that we're going to sell you. Like, you know, sort of set up.
So Jess and I decided to go into the tent.
Well, we also saw people go into the tent and never return.
And lo and behold, when you come out of the tent, this is what the cool sort of experiential bit is. You entered into
a vast
forest.
Yeah, you crawl through a tunnel.
Yeah.
And you end up in a vast forest that's not of this earth.
It's not of this world, yeah. There are like runes glowing in the walls and there are like... hidden offices and compartments, and at one point it looks like you're in like a space station.
Yeah, or like a different interdimensional factory.
And I tried to follow the story because cool thing. There is a narrative, but it is super layered and dense.
Yeah,
and it's about it's basically about like employees running Omega Mart and how some of them want to create a revolution because they think they're slaves, and there's some mystery as to where the products are coming from and how they're made.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like a Soylent Green type situation where they were like turning the people into food, but it wasn't that. It was like the essence of the food had created a human being, like a being that was a little girl.
I think so,
and there were crazy bits where like you could enter her bedroom and see her memories, but like you're accessing her memories through her vanity mirror, but the mirror is like a TV screen. Yeah. It was just like very effective.
And you're solving the mystery as you kind of go through it too. So like, it's not just like you have her room, you have like two of her friends' rooms.
Yes.
Then you have like this office and with the boopable card, you're also able to access files on computers and videos and other things. We won't tell you exactly what happens.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil this too much of the story of Omega Mart because even though what I told you, it honestly, that spoils nothing.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And as you can tell, like by the boopable card, like there's a sense of it. That's what kind of why I kept thinking Rick and Morty because it has this like very, you know, kind of weird Dan Harmon kind of humor about it. I think like the way things are named, the way products are named, and that it's, you're in this weird multidimensional place, but it's all of it's done with like a sense of humor.
Yeah. And dark humor. And, I think there was one box of something that looked like, it almost looked like laundry detergent and it was called Done. When you're just done.
yeah. The fake product names were really good.
Yeah, that was great. Like I could have just spent hours reading all the boxes. Like I would love to go back to Omega Mart and just
explore,
like focus on something this time, right? Like explore and just focus on all the
like I'm
packaging.
Just gonna be in the store looking at products,
right?
All right, the next time I go I want to go to the forest. The next time I go I'm gonna be in the there's like an Omega Mart training facility that was really crazy that had all these different rooms and like lockers that you could open and walk through like secret doors.
Yeah, it's
Fucking
layered
nuts.
And amazing.
I've never been to something like this where it's like, this is like Universal or Disney level theming, but done for like the art crowd.
Yeah, my little art soul, like art kid, was so happy. Like, I know that there were moments when Matt was like, are you okay? Like, are you having a good time?
It's because you,
because
your
I like
face
freeze.
Went like slack.
Yeah, I just froze up because it was so overwhelming and I was so excited and so many emotions and I was taking it all in. And I was trying to like carry the story and be like, oh my God, what is happening? I got to look at everything. Ah!
Did you feel pressure to try to look through all, like every bit of a room you went in?
A little bit. And then I was like, then I realized how dense and layered this whole thing was. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get everything on this trip and that's okay.
I'm not going to lie. When we went into the forest in the other planet, and we, like, opened that guy's office, and I saw that you could access files in a computer, I gave up. Like, I was just like, I'm not gonna have all the information, and that's okay.
Because it wasn't just one file. There was,
no.
like, four folders, and each folder had, like,
pictures
three
and
files.
Blogs
and
all kinds
it,
of shit.
It was a lot. You could definitely spend 2 to 3 hours in there easily.
Just that one room. I feel like Omega Mart is a place you couldn't see all of Omega Mart. If you had gone every day for 2 weeks,
yeah,
I think you would still find crevices of Omega Mart that you had no idea existed.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, and you have to watch other people and kind of see if they come out of something or if they disappear into something. Because there was one room, it might have been her bedroom, I don't know, but there was, like, a little hole in the wall.
Oh, my God.
And I saw this little girl go up. And she didn't come out. And then I saw a mom go up and she didn't come out. And I was like, well, I gotta go in now too. And I'm claustrophobic. And I was like, oh God, what am I getting into? And it was a very short tunnel. It was like, really, you're on all fours for 2 seconds and you stand up and you're in this like cavernous cave hole thing. And you
stairwell. It's like a cave stairwell.
Yeah, but there aren't actual stairs. You're like climbing a wall.
And you're hanging. I'm not kidding.
There's
a rope
to like help you up the stair wall rock thing.
I didn't think I was claustrophobic until I followed you in there, and then I all of a sudden I felt the walls closing in, and I was like, oh my God! But there's no way for you to physically turn around. That was the other thing.
You
it
had
would
to
have
go
been
up.
Way worse to try to turn around because there are people also funneling in behind you because they've seen you disappear into the wall,
right?
And I had no choice but to follow Jess up. This rock face
with the
rope, and it was just freaky, and I've got Jess ahead of me and she's like, just hang on to the rope.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't hanging on to the rope at first.
I was just
he's
climbing
trying
it, like,
to free
fucking,
form it.
I was
like,
fucking
no.
Free soloing
free
Omega
solo.
Mark.
Free solo. Like, we can't have you fall.
Don't free solo. I skinned my finger in there.
Oh my God.
Fuck you, cavernous rock tunnel.
Blood and all.
Fucking blood. I was like, oh God, what tetanus shot do I need now?
Oh, it's fine.
I was like, how many kids have wandered up this cavernous hole?
I think we poured some hand sanitizer and it was fine.
It was I should have just used like some Windex from another dimension off the shelf and sprayed my wound.
You did fine.
That's not a joke. I actually did get wounded in Omega Mart.
But Omega Mart was fantastic. I just, every time I think about it, it's just like this dreamy, happy place. I was like, wow, this is a thing for me. The like weird art kid in me. Like, I loved it so much.
Yeah, there's honestly, I kind of want like Omega Mart themed books or comics or shorts or webisodes.
Oh God,
or something.
Tell me the fucking story.
Well, not just that, like, because the world is so the rich, juicy details. There are so many rich, juicy things in there where you're like, I want to know more about this. The humor's there. Like, I could really see this existing in a Rick and Morty-like animated show or something.
Totally.
They need to do more with the Omega Mart branding.
I agree.
They could fucking blow that out. The lore is there, dude. It's there.
Yeah. For sure.
Any other final thoughts on Omega Mart?
The cocktail that I had. So you had the orange...
Yeah, it was like a fake orange Julius.
I had a Meowhito, which was their take on a mojito, and it was fantastic. I was very surprised at how good it was, because I didn't drink that much on the trip, because I'm now 40 and my body hates me, but I can have at least one cocktail a day. And so that was, I think, the one that I had. And it was really great. A lot of the other cocktails were mediocre in Vegas.
Mediocre,
I have to admit. I was like, well, this is okay. It's fine. It's passable. I think only one of them I was like, ooh, this is not for me. But the Meowjito was great. And I have to say, I think anything off the menu, if it looks good to you, just get it.
There were also some fun, like, popcorns that we didn't
try. Oh, yeah, they had snacks.
Yep. So you can get some salty, weird, multi-dimensional popcorn snacks while you drink your drink in the Omega Mart bar, which you should definitely do.
Yeah, it was great. But that's it for Omega Mart for
me. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I'm a sucker for that kind of theme park walkthrough stuff. The only thing I didn't love was going into that cavernous hole.
But look at the story you have to tell.
I do have a story, but I didn't like that bit.
You don't have to like it, but you have a story.
But you gotta do it,
and you survived. Oh, oh. Yeah.
Okay, so next up, let's maybe talk about the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Sure.
So Jess and I, a friend of mine, told me, hey, you're out in Vegas. He knows I'm a fan of pinball machines and movie-themed pinball. And he was like, you got to go to the Pinball Hall of Fame. And I thought, okay, I don't know. It sounds like a pinball museum. I don't know how interesting that's going to be for Jess. And then I started to look things up online. And I realized it's not a museum, it's an actual working arcade where you can play every pinball machine inside.
Yeah, and it wasn't that far, because you think, they kind of say, oh, it's sort of off the strip, and
you're like... But it's like, really not far at all.
Oh, man!
Yeah, no, they said it was like by the airport. I'm like, right. Oh, Jesus.
And then you remember, oh, the airport's very close to the strip.
Yeah, the airport's like a 20-minute taxi ride away, maybe.
With traffic.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So the Pinball Hall of Fame, I can't say enough nice stuff about this. If you want to see a cool mini doc that we shot about our visit there, that is on our TikTok, and it's also on our Instagram, at the Matt and Mark Movie Show. But I'll just say, thank you for going with me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know this probably was not at the top of your to-do list.
Not really.
But you had a good time.
But
right?
I had a good time. And also, somebody's got to film you playing the pinball machines. That's what the producer in the booth does. I'm not just in the booth. I'm also the producer in real life.
You're a very nice person.
I'm pretty good. But yes. I had fun. Like, I liked seeing all the old, like the super old pinball machines.
Like we played like a 70s Charlie's Angels pinball table.
But even like ones from the 60s that are hand-painted glass.
Yeah,
just from another like a craft artist standpoint, I'm like, oh my god, it's hand painted.
Yes,
it was wild.
And there were so many machines we didn't get to. I mean, I'm telling you, it is a full on. Imagine a fucking Costco sized warehouse.
Yep.
Of rows and rows and rows of working pinball machines.
Yeah.
From every era, every movie tie-in machine you can think of. Old machines, like from the original Flintstones movie with John Goodman, to brand new machines like the Stern pinball table that for Jaws, as well as the Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
We played a bunch of them again. You can see them in the doc, but some of the highlights, like we played Ghostbusters. Jess played this really cool Big Lebowski pinball bowling game.
Yeah, that one was kind of weird, but kind of awesome.
You were good at it, I think.
Yeah, well, better than some of the other pinballs.
I got to play Elvira, which is one of those like
so
famous pinball tables. Really cool. I got to play Ninja Turtles. There were a couple other ones. It was amazing. Like I would turn a corner, and it was like I had pinball ADD. I couldn't decide what machine.
He was like, I'm gonna play this one. I'm gonna play this one. Wait, no, I wanna play this one. No, I wanna play this one.
And it wasn't like an arm and a leg. Like, it was like, hey, here's a change machine. You're going to spend 50 cents on this machine. 75 cents on this machine. 75 cents on this machine. Or a dollar if it's a, you know, newer sort of pricier one. Like, Jaws, I think, was a dollar.
I think so.
But it was fucking excellent. I can't say enough about it. All the profits, I think, from the Pinball Hall of Fame go to charity.
Yeah.
Which is one of those kind of crazy things. Like, hey, they aren't just weird, eclectic pinball collectors. They're also, like, people who want to be charitable and, like, help other people. So, it actually, you're playing for a good cause.
Well, we hope. We don't know what charity that they were giving to.
Oh, that's true. It could be, like, the charity of fill in my pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. But they did say, like, you know, it is for charity.
The Get Me a New Toyota Truck Foundation.
Maybe. I don't know. But, like, I mean, you know, you never know if the charity aligns with your values, but...
True, true.
But they do...
We want to believe that it does.
Yeah. I mean, they also had tie-dye sweatshirts, so, like, I'm hoping that it goes to, like, good stuff,
yeah,
right?
Man, I think it does. I had the fucking best time. They have so many goddamn machines there. Like, I'm telling you, if you're in Las Vegas, and you're semi-nerdy, and you like games, yep, and movies and pop culture... Your fucking first stop needs to be the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was worth it. And I'm not a huge pinball person.
You're not a pinballer?
I'm not a pinballer.
What, are you a pinballer?
No, you guys will probably see me play it if you watch the mini doc.
You were pretty good at the Big Lebowski bowling game.
That one was okay, but I think I played Jaws, and I think you can just hear me say, what the fuck? What the... You bitch! Like, I just...
Jaws was hard,
it
though.
It was so hard.
You were supposed to, like, get the ball... Like, there were certain challenges where it was like, hit the chum bucket.
Yeah.
Okay, now hit Bruce the shark in the face.
I can't
avoid
aim.
Bruce.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was like, how am I supposed to do that when I have no control over this ball and it keeps going in the center of the table and out?
Yeah, no, no.
Also, by the way, quick thing for our people who follow these bonus episodes. Our last Disneyland trip where we found the Indiana Jones pinball
yes!
adventure... That was actually there at the Pinball Hall
of
Fame.
Yeah, they had one.
Funny enough. So, it does exist outside of the parks, if you're interested.
Yeah.
There is one at the Pinball Hall of
Fame.
And
you can play it.
Yeah, you can, and you can play it if you want. Oh, it was so fun. I'm, like, blanking on some of the other machines that
we
played now. But it was just so cool to be... You know, because usually you walk into, like, a bar or even, like, a barcade that's trendy now. There'll be, like, two pinball machines. Maybe you get lucky and they have, like, the Austin Powers one.
Right.
Or some other random one. To have all this movie-related pinball in at your fingertips?
Yep.
It was almost kind of maddening because it's like... I was a kid in a candy store, and I couldn't fucking get everything I wanted. Like, I was just running around. Like, I couldn't sit still. I had to play one round, and then I was like, okay, I have to try. Like, in my mind, I was like, I have to play as many games as I can.
Oh, my God.
Before I leave. And I was sucking. Like, I'd play a round, and then I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm moving to the next one. I was like, I had the worst ADD in this place.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
Yo, yeah. Well, that's how we saw everything.
Yes, that's how we saw, like, the majority of the machines. And there are also, like, other... They have arcade cabinets and some other stuff if you're not into pinballing. They
yeah.
do have more traditional cabinets. But don't be that guy. You want to go play the pinball.
Yeah, you play those after you played all the pinball machines.
Fuck yeah. And you can bring the kids there if you have little ratty kids that you want to bring.
Oh, yeah. Super, super family friendly. And...
You want to bring your fucking kids there, then bring them.
Aww.
No, bring the kids. It's fun. Everybody has a good time
yeah,
at those.
Yeah, to the Pinball Hall of Fame.
To the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. There were a lot of kids in Vegas, which
yeah,
I thought was weird.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
That was just weird.
I didn't expect... It's kind of like... It's kind of like... Almost like the Playboy Mansion. Like, I remember when I saw the Playboy Mansion in that one Weezer music video, I was like, oh, the Playboy Mansion has kind of been... sanitized, because in my mind I always thought it was like this forbidden, lusty place
yeah
where people were just like you know fucking in the lawn and stuff.
Well, I'm sure that's what they do when the camera's not on.
Sure, but apparently the Playboy Mansion is just like the Las Vegas of today, where it's like you go and there are families walking around and like there's like stuff to do that isn't R-rated,
oh
basically.
My god, Hugh Hefner's rolling over in his grave.
So it seems weird to me. So I kind of did have that thought at one point, because I was like, well, I guess this kind of could be a family destination.
Well, that's one thing that I'm seeing and realizing about Vegas, is that you can curate whatever kind of Vegas trip you want, right? If you're there for, like, a bachelorette blowout, you can... go to, like, the Thunder Down Under whatever...
the Magic Mike Show.
Yeah, the Magic Mike Show, and just do that. Or, you know...
Where he gets naked, and then he has to, like, go pay child support.
He's gotta go
and
cry
it's sad,
in the corner.
And it's sad.
Ooh. Or, you know, I'm sure if you're there for a bachelor party, and you're into disgusting strip clubs, you can
yes.
go do that, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Tons of, like... hey, you want to go to the cowgirl strip club?
This is hilarious. So we're walking around at night going to dinner or whatever, right? And you can see these guys on the corners with these discreet business cards. And then you can see on the ground what kind of business cards they are. They are sexy ladies, scantily clad or not even clad.
Fully naked on the card.
Oh, well, I didn't see that one. But, like, yeah. And it's just cards for these strip clubs and whatnot, which more power to you if you want to go. It's just not, I'm not really welcome there. And it's not really my jam. But it's so funny that they're discreetly giving them out. Like, if I wasn't holding Matt's hand or if I walked, like, three steps ahead of him or behind him, they would try to give him a card.
They did, yeah, many times.
It was crazy.
I guess I have that kind of look. They're like, this guy wants to go to the strip
club. No, it's basically any man. No, it's, I watched. It's any man who wasn't in the vicinity, the close proximity of a woman.
Yeah.
That was literally it. Or a child.
And they, and we should say too, those guys, they do this thing where they slap the cards. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's to get your attention.
They like slap the cards against the palm of their hand, like smack, smack, smack.
Yeah.
So you look at them and then they try to whip the card out
right,
to
you. Right, because I know I looked and they like turned their back to me and I was
they
like,
they were like, oh, a girl.
Oh, shit.
Girl, no. It was like that Inside Out when the alarm goes off.
Girl. Girl.
Girl.
Girl.
Girl.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. So.
They did try to get me a couple times. Yeah. They were like, here, sir, you want to go to this disgusting place?
Oh.
I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. So like, you know.
Hold on, a strip show at the Luxor Dorito.
At the Dorito.
I gotta go.
They threw chips on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naughty chips.
Naughty chips. But yeah, I think Vegas, you can,
well, there
you
are
can do whatever
more,
you want.
There are more family things I noticed, like billboards for stuff. Like,
yeah.
Hey, here's this thing called, and I'm this nerd. I was like, oh, I would have totally done that. Like, go to the Dino Adventure where you uncover these, like, animatronic dinosaurs.
Oh.
And I was like, we're not going to go to that. But I was like, I would totally do that.
We need to borrow somebody's kid. Like, if we have friends that are listening and you have a kid.
Rent me a kid.
One kid. Not for the full weekend.
Yes.
Just come to Vegas
so
with us.
So I can
us.
Go to the Dino Adventure.
Matt will take the kid off your hands for the afternoon.
It was the Universal Park in me, or
yeah.
Park goer in me, where I was like, I saw Jurassic stuff and I was like, I want to do some dinosaur shit.
Oh my God. I'm
anyway,
glad we didn't go to that
But there
one.
Is family stuff. Like at the Meow Wolf Omega Mart, outside of Omega Mart, there were like arcades and axe throwing and
yeah, it was
zip lining and
a weird amalgamation of stores.
Oh, it's called Area 15.
Oh yeah.
It's like a complex of stuff that you can take your family to go do. Basically.
Totally.
Even though I would not consider Omega Mart family friendly.
No, it's a little creepy, but there were a lot of kids.
A lot of kids in Omega Mart.
But then again, you know what? You would have been one of those kids that would have gone.
I would have gone for sure.
And I would
Are you
have been
kidding me?
Crying.
In the rated R house, where I had no ratings rule growing up, my dad would have taken me to the Doritos strip club and then to Omega
That's
Mart.
That's true.
He'd have been like, well, I'll take you to the Dino Adventure, but first we got to see the ladies. No, Dad.
No.
All right. Let's do this, because I think maybe we'll save Shin. Let's talk about, on the subject of naked ladies.
Yes.
Yeah, people, if Woo! You listen this far, get ready, it's going to get saucy.
So saucy.
Dita, Las Vegas.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, go for it.
I have seen Dita Von Teese's burlesque shows back in New York multiple times. I saw her in San Francisco, and now in Las Vegas. I'm a fan. I haven't really gone beyond Dita for burlesque shows, just because beyond Dita, I haven't really, like, dug in too hard, and I don't really know a lot of performers and all of that. I just love Dita. I love the aesthetic. I love the props. I love the craftsmanship that goes into the set production and the costumes. I love all of it. I just love all of it. And so when this one came out, it was massive. She's got, like, I think 20 dancers with her on this stage or this production. And the other cool thing about this show is that it's in the Horseshoe, and they have a theater called the Jubilee Theater, which had the original, like, big showgirl show. I don't remember the name. I think it was just the Jubilee or something.
Sure.
But
Jubilation.
Oh, maybe?
I think it probably was Jubilation.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
But they had, it's like the classic showgirl, like the big feather headpieces and sequins and dancing around and shit. So they actually used the original, I know I'm getting super amped up, They're like, oh my God, producer in the booth, calm down. They use,
I like the passion,
a lot of the original showgirl costumes. So in the first, you know, act or whatever, Dita comes down out of the ceiling. Out of the ceiling! And it was amazing because that's how the old show was done. They had multiple pieces of the ceiling that could come down and drop, like, well,
yeah, these
drop.
Like kind of these like descending platforms.
Yes.
Like kind of artfully would kind of come out of the ceiling and then kind of disappear back into the ceiling.
Right. And that was so incredible to see multiple dancers coming down out of the ceilings, like just above, like literally right above you. And we had amazing seats to the show, which was...
Yeah, we were, like, way up front. So there's, like, the theater section where there's kind of traditional theater seating.
Mm-hmm.
But then up front by the stage is, like, a cabaret area where you're in, like, these... You have these little tables, these little four-toppers. We were there in the cabaret section.
Yeah.
So, like, Dita Von Teese was as close to me as Jess is right now.
It was amazing.
It was pretty crazy.
Oh, so great.
It really felt like you were in the middle of, like, a showgirl explosion.
Yes. Yes, it was like a Dita Von Teese show on steroids.
Yes.
And they had a bunch of new dancers.
Dude, our cat is desperately trying to claw his way into the studio.
Yeah, you can see his paws under the door. He's ruthless.
Jesus Christ.
Hopefully you can't hear him.
Oh, they've probably heard everything.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Sorry, guys.
It's fine.
Yeah, I can't wrangle him and be on the show at the same time.
Should I just let him in? Do you think he'll behave, or you think, no?
Just let him in. Let's just see.
You keep going.
All right, we're going to let the cat in. So the great thing about the show is that there was a bunch of new dancers, and they all do a lot of Dita's classic performances. Like, she's got this giant three-tiered cake that someone comes out of and does a striptease, and then she's got this giant metal heart that has rungs, and this one had actually two performers on it, which was... really, really beautifully done. But I think, I mean, I always love when Dita does the martini glass.
Oh, that's what she's famous for.
That's what she's famous for. And I think she did it in Olivia Wilde's movie with Harry Styles. And
oh, Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it.
But I know that Dita's actually in that. And she's also in the Taylor Swift Bejeweled music video. So if you're not familiar with Dita, you have probably seen her and her martini glass. But the really cool thing about this one was it wasn't just her on stage. Like, at the beginning, you know, she's doing the striptease, and then she gets into the glass, and then the curtain raises, and there's five other glasses and five other performers in the glasses, and it's bubbles and water splashing everywhere, and it was amazing, as always. And then I think my other favorite part, oh my God, everything's my favorite, but one of our favorite performers is usually with Dita on these shows, thankfully.
Oh, Dirty Martini.
Dirty Martini.
She's a fucking legend.
God damn it. She is talented.
I don't know how you would describe what Dirty Martini does.
She does like the tassel.
I would call it like, yeah, twirling. I would call it like, yeah, but it's almost like a show of, it's almost of... like an incredible show of like boob concentration.
Yes.
That's like, kind of how I would describe it. Like, if I had to describe it to you, I'd be like, she, the way that, like, a mentalist can read a human being, she, like, uses her beautiful mind to coordinate her boobage to twirl in various directions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like...
That's how I would describe
it. Like, we've all seen...
boob concentration.
Tassels twirling or whatever. She can twirl them to the left. She can twirl them to the right. She can twirl them opposite ways. She can helicopter it, which means she's twirling them opposite ways and leaning back.
She does all this, too, by the way, to the, it's that Dick Dale soundtrack from Pulp Fiction, like...
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool. I love it. I've gone with Jess, not to every show, but like, I think I've gone to the last four shows that Dita's done. I always have a good time. I just love, it's fun. You're seeing a bunch of naked people.
Yeah.
And it's crazy set designs and just like, and then boob Olympics, like boob concentration. And every time, Dirty Martini's always my favorite thing.
She's so great.
I always, because I'm like, this is fucking nuts. Like, dude, fuck America's Got Talent. Like, if you want to see some real talent, okay, You haven't lived until you've seen this lady twirl her boobs on command.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
It's pure talent.
That's talent.
It's so, America's got so talent. Good. It's great. Yeah. Oh my God, I love Dirty Martini. And, okay, the other great thing about the show is that the stage is massive. And Dita was able to drive one of her vintage cars across the stage.
Yeah, she fully drives the real car out on stage.
Yep.
And then apparently Jess was telling me, and I thought you were joking, but you were like, no, she actually drives that car around town. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Because it's not like a Kia Soul. It's like a Batman animated series car.
Vintage
it looks
car,
like this
yeah.
like really crazy. I don't know this car. It looks like an old Rolls Royce or something. And
it
she
might be.
Drives
Who knows?
It out onto the stage, and then I just think about the poor loading crew that has to like get that car onto stage and back out so she can drive it around town and then back onto stage every day.
Right. Or if it's like, hey, I got to just drive the car around once a week to make sure it still runs.
Right.
And then it's just
loaded.
I got to
make sure the battery still works in
right.
this thing.
Yeah. Like, who knows? But kind of amazing. I absolutely love the show. If we were closer to Vegas, I probably would have gone like 3 or 4 times
you
would have been, by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
It's
called Dita Las Vegas.
Yep.
And I highly recommend going. Even if you don't think you're into burlesque stuff, A, get out of your comfort zone, but B, I feel like you can't go to Vegas and not do like a fun showgirl kind of thing.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
It's not like the guys on the strip. It's
no.
not like the slapper cards. This isn't a fucking strip club.
It's not trashy.
It's like a crazy show that happens to involve boob concentration.
Yeah, like, look, they strip down and, you know, they rip things off.
And
like,
FYI, it's not just, it is equal. It is
yes,
equal.
Yes, this one's
you'll
very
see,
equal.
You'll see naked ladies and too many naked men.
Oh, though. It was just enough naked men
too
for me.
Too many naked men.
Well, they're not fully naked.
One guy is, like, fully naked
no,
all the time.
He's not fully naked. That's your favorite guy, Jed Adore. He's not fully naked.
I have seen that guy naked too many times.
He's pretty close to naked.
It's a problem.
No.
Because I've seen him naked more than I've seen myself naked, and at this point it's a problem.
Oh.
Too much naked. That guy, enough with that guy. Like, put a fucking shirt on. It's
he
enough.
Has a shirt on, and then he just rips it off.
No, keep it on.
No, it's fantastic. He's fantastic. He's just a lot of fun, too.
And don't be fooled. Okay, so here's the other thing I want to quickly say. We went, Dita Las Vegas is located in the Horseshoe Casino. The Horseshoe Casino is fucking gross.
It is gross.
It's like Port Authority.
Yep, another Port Authority.
However, the theater, the Horseshoe Theater, is super nice.
Yes.
And the show is incredibly high quality.
Yeah.
So do not be fooled by the rough exterior.
Exactly.
There is a diamond inside of that disgusting Port Authority.
Yeah.
And it's the Dita show.
Exactly.
That's what I would tell you. Please don't be afraid of the Horseshoe Casino.
Mm-hmm.
Just go proceed to the theater and avoid everything else.
Yeah. Like, get dinner somewhere else.
Definitely fucking eat somewhere else.
Yeah. The cocktail I had was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
You said it was like the Dita gin, right? She has
yeah,
her
there's
own gin
there's
or
like
something.
A gin that she's like an ambassador for. I don't know if it's like her specific gin. I think it's called Sweet Gwendolyn or something. I believe it's a French gin, which I'm not very familiar with gin, so that's all that I know. It was all right.
And I drank a water.
Oh, water. But that's okay. You survived.
I was such a square this trip. Like, we went to dinner one night, and Jess is like, I'll have this amazing cocktail. The bartender will make all this crazy. And I was like, I'll have a ginger ale. Like, the waiter was like, a virgin ginger ale? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
He's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, I see what kind of fucking guy this is.
But you know what? Actually, I think you playing it pretty straight kept us out of trouble.
Oh,
because
my God.
We
yeah,
can
probably.
egg each other on real quick.
And in Las Vegas, we could have gotten into a lot of trouble, for sure.
This would be a very different
so maybe
podcast.
Maybe it was a blessing in disguise that I couldn't drink on the trip.
I think so. I probably would have ended up being one of those girls on the sidewalk throwing up her guts, having a really great time.
We did see those people, too.
We did.
We saw a lot of sad stuff. Like, I think the saddest thing I think I saw was a guy in the slot machine area of, I can't remember which casino we were in, But he clearly, like, gambles every day. It was sad, like Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. And he had fallen asleep.
With his cigarette still lit in his fingers.
Which is not safe. And he had fallen asleep at the slot machine, like, mid-pull.
Yeah.
And that was sad.
I think that's also when I was like, maybe I don't need to gamble too much more money. Like, maybe I'm good.
Yeah, maybe that's enough Vegas for today.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When you were at the roulette table, there was a guy who sat down, and it was cool, because he was kind of, we don't fucking know what we're doing.
He was helping me out.
He was kind of explaining to Jessica, like, roulette sounds fairly simple, like, oh, bet on red or bet on black. No, dude.
Not anymore.
The way that you bet on it is so complex, I'm not going to try and explain it now on this show, because I'll bore
just
us all to tears.
Just find a YouTube video.
But this guy was cool, he was kind of explaining to Jess a little bit, and then he just laid out $300 like it was nothing, and he lost it all.
In one go.
In one roll of the roulette
wheel.
Yeah,
so I had bet on red, and I had won. Yes. And so I was like, whatever, I'll bet on red again. And he saw that I had won, and so he was like, oh, I'll take $300 and I'll bet with her. Probably thinking that we both lost.
Except you lost, like, $40 and he lost
$300. Oh, I lost $25. Because the minimum bet's $25.
Yes. We didn't do any craps or sports betting or anything like that. We just did slots and roulette. Oh, yeah, you want to open that door? I know, our cat has just been desperate to get in here. Anything else you want to add about Dita Las Vegas or any of the sad things we saw in the casino?
No more sad things.
Okay, let's finish off our last experience that we did was Limitless.
Shin Lim.
Shin Lim, Limitless. The Lim in Limitless. It was a magic show, illusion. Funny enough, we talked about America's Got Talent. He was on America's Got Talent.
And I believe he won.
For his magic?
Yeah.
What his deal is, if you've never seen him, is he is a sleight of hand close-up magician.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a lot of card tricks. They are amazing and impressive. I'm more of a magic fan than Jess is, so she was cool enough to go with me to this.
Well, you went to Dita, and I was like, all right, you get to pick one night event, because right. That would have been
me. You forced
me
to go to the booby show.
I know.
And so I was like, I want to go to the magic show.
That's fine.
But I will say this. As cool, and like, I really do genuinely love illusions, and
I love
magic.
I've
been to the Magic Castle in L.A., I've seen some amazing shows. I've done some other crazy illusion stuff in New York when we used to live there. This was okay. I think Shin Lim, I think my problem with the Limitless show, and I'll just say this, the magic in it for Shin Lim was incredible, but Shin Lim himself is kind of a drag.
Yeah, it was very quiet and...
He's very self-serious and a little pretentious. He's like if your pretentious NYU friend got into magic.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, now I gotta listen to this life story so you can do this trick.
Totally.
And here's what called extra attention to it, was he shares the stage with a very cool mentalist called Colin... Is it Colin Cloud?
Yeah, Colin Cloud.
This fucking guy, I want to make it known.
He was awesome.
Colin Cloud was fucking excellent.
Yes.
Now, if you do go to the show, Colin Cloud is worth going to this show because he is just that fucking good.
Yeah, agreed.
But here's the problem. He shares the show with Shin, but their styles couldn't be more different.
Yeah.
A, Shin is a more traditional close-up magic guy. Colin Cloud is a mentalist who plays more with the audience. Shin Lim is very self-serious and quiet and sort of contemplative about his work.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Cloud is more like a comedian where he, like, gets the fucking crowd laughing and going, and he performs these crazy feats of mentalism. He's asking for volunteers. He's that kind of a magician. The problem is I like both of those styles. I don't like them together.
Yeah, it was too much of a contrast.
It only calls to attention, yes, to how sad the Shin Lim portion is.
Yeah, or a sad feeling. It's not that sad, but it's just sad feeling.
I'll just tell you this. Colin Cloud plays like punk rock and pub music, and Shin Lim plays like the soundtrack from Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally, that's not a joke. That actually does happen.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, I'm not that into magic or like not well versed enough, but Shin Lim makes the, what do you call them, illusions?
Yes.
Illusions,
Michael. Illusions.
He makes them look very easy, which is clearly the sign of a master. So now I want to know, well, how the hell did he do it? So I know how hard it is to actually do these things, which I know I'll never get the answer to. But yes. He does make it look very flawless and very easy. And that's also the amazing part. If you can get past the solitude, quiet.
Right. Like, here's my life story. When I injured my hand.
Oh, yeah.
And did magic.
Oh, God.
Here's when I went to the competition. I thought I would be first place, but I was sixth place.
Yeah, it was just kind of.
And then Colin Cloud comes out. He's like, what the fuck's up, motherfuckers?
Well, he's like, also, was he like Scottish?
I think he's a Scotsman.
Oh, yeah. He's got a thick accent, and then these drunk ladies can't understand him, and it's amazing.
It was fucking great. He played with the audience. His mentalism was actually really cool. He's also a little more modern. He likes for people to use their phones and stuff for certain tricks. Like, it was fucking cool if you're into that. And I think he was showing at the Mirage.
Yes.
So if you go to the Mirage Resort, is where you can see Limitless.
Limitless
by Shin Lim.
But also, the Wi-Fi connection down there is terrible.
It sucks.
So have your tickets ready.
Or, but you can do what we did too and just go to the ticket counter
them to print your ticket out. I bought them from Ticketmaster, so you can get, like,
I don't know if you buy
them from, like, a different seller or something, if they'll be able to print them out.
They'll be like, you can't come to the ticket counter.
Yeah, so just, you know, have your shit ready before you go downstairs.
Good advice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so maybe let's talk a little about the food really quick.
Oh, yes.
We ate a lot of good stuff.
So much food.
Did you have a favorite meal, a favorite restaurant, a favorite place?
No, because they were all favorites.
I'm going to throw this out there. I had two amazing things. The fucking first day that we showed up, I had an amazing fried chicken and waffle, and I cannot for the life of me remember what this fucking place... Oh, I think it was
Salt
called...
Salt and Ivy.
Salt and Ivy. Thank cheese. Wow, you're good.
We're a team.
Salt and Ivy, fried chicken and waffle. Go get it. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, I was a nerd and had a salmon power bowl, so it was like a grilled salmon salad.
I felt like we kind of accounted for each other's nerdiness. Like, Jess was having, like, a salmon salad, and I was having fried chicken and waffles, but Jess would have, like, these crazy cocktails, and I would be drinking water.
Yeah, yeah, we balanced each other out.
Yeah, it was a balancing act.
But, like, I keep dreaming about that meal, too. It was really fantastic. Also, we had donuts before lunch.
Oh, yeah. We went to Easy Donuts.
Oh.
Highly recommend them.
So good. That was all... Was that in the Aria?
I think so.
Yeah.
Might be in the Aria.
I think it was in the Aria.
Yeah, we didn't do any of the... I know Vegas is famous for its buffets. We debated.
I'm too grossed out by it.
We never went to any buffets. We only got a couple reservations for places. We mostly just kind of walked up and found stuff. Like Salt and Ivy, we just walked up. But like... We had reservations at Primrose, which was my favorite breakfast.
Oh, yeah. They were fantastic.
That was the place that's located in the Park MGM.
Yep.
They're like a Southern-style place. I had a real Southern bug this trip.
Did.
I had a lot of, like, Southern food. It's great. You know, they do omelets. They do, you know, I think they also do a fried chicken biscuit kind of thing. But it's fucking awesome. I can't say enough good about Primrose. They were delicious.
Yeah, Primrose was also... I really enjoyed that one, too.
We had dinner in the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, that was stunning. Because we went right after Valentine's Day. And I was like, you know what? We're going to be in Vegas.
Yep.
We'll just celebrate there. And so we got a window table that overlooked the Bellagio fountains. I know, that's bougie as fuck, and that's the way that I like it.
The fountains, we should say, from the end of Ocean's 11.
Yes.
When all the guys are standing outside watching the fountains at the end of that movie, that's the exact fountain.
Yes, so we got to watch that throughout the entire meal, which was amazing. And the food was exquisite.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was worth every penny.
Yeah, that's one place that I could definitely, had like way more drinks and gotten turned up because that cocktail was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I had an amazing steak there. They had these crazy potato things that were like, I was calling them, adult They were like adult tater tots.
Oh, it was potatoes dauphine.
Oh, potatoes dauphine.
Or dauphin.
It was like a long French fry shape, but it was like a tater tot exterior and like
it was like if this if creamy you made center. A tater tot longer.
Yeah, it was like
two tater tot lengths.
at least three. Get the length
three
right.
Three tater tot lengths.
And this is a dirty episode.
Oh yeah, three tater tots. That's what she said.
Those things were delicious.
They were great.
What else did we eat? We went to China Poblano.
China Poblano. That was in the Cosmopolitan, and we again just were like, oh my god, we're starving. It's lunch. We gotta eat.
Yep.
Rolled up, somehow got seats at the bar, and it was great. This place has both Mexican and Chinese food.
Like traditional dim sum.
Yeah, and then, but some things have Mexican flair, or some Mexican things have Chinese flair.
Sure.
It was really great. We got queso fundido, we had...
Quesabirrias,
we had some soup, no, not soup dumplings,
Xiaolongbao. Soup dumplings.
No, was it soup dumplings there?
No. No. Oh, no, there were bao buns. Bao
buns,
yeah.
Maybe some pots. Oh, wait, do we have
You know why? Fingers? We had soup dumplings at Din Tai Fung.
Oh, yes.
We went to Din Tai Fung, which was amazing
as well. That was fantastic. That's a place that I did not enjoy the cocktail. I would say, if you go to Din Tai Fung, get sake or a glass of wine.
Yeah, just do sake, I think.
I don't know that I would get a cocktail from them again, but... I mean, besides that,
and
was fantastic.
What was the Italian place we ate at before? Limitless. That place was good.
Osteria Costa?
Yes! Oh my god, your fucking memory's awesome.
Osteria Costa was great.
Oh my god, they had legit amazing chicken. Everything was good. The chicken parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
You had this like amazing, was it like lamb pasta?
Yeah, it was like a lamb ragu.
Oh my god, my fucking mouth is watering right now.
I'm starving.
I know.
We'll
wrap up soon.
Bye. yeah, the food was great there, but you know what? That was my least favorite meal out of everything that
because
we
everything
ate.
Else was
everything
so good.
Everything else was so good. So I'm here to say the food in Vegas was fantastic. And look, we went to the fun, bougie places. We didn't go to any, like, dingy, scary shit off the strip. And we didn't eat at any, like, here's Wahlburgers.
Yeah, here's Sbarro.
I'm not eating at Wahlburgers.
No, man, we want real food.
Good food.
I echo what Jess is more of a foodie than I am, but I will tell you, I thought the food in Vegas was fantastic.
Yeah.
You would not think of Vegas, of all fucking places, being, like, a foodie destination.
But it really is.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
My sister, who's in the food industry, shout out, love you, when I told her we're going to Vegas, she was like, oh my god, you have to tell me about everything. It's such a foodie town. And I was like, what?
Yeah, we were like, are you joking?
Yeah, and so every day she was like, you have to text me everything that you ate.
And you did for the
and
most
I,
part.
Actually,
yeah.
I did.
You documented.
I documented, and I texted her every day what we ate, and then she would ask me, all right, well, how was it? How was the service? What was this? What was that? And yeah, it was great. I kind of can't believe it. Because if you see these types of restaurants back in New York, you're like, I'm not going to the fucking Martha Stewart restaurant. I just want to go to a regular restaurant.
Yes.
It'll feel too much like a tourist trap. All of Vegas is a giant tourist trap, and you know it, and you're going, so you might as well
just embrace it. Yeah.
And have a great time. Like, we saw that there was a Giada.
Oh, yeah, Giada De Laurentiis from the Food Network.
But I love Giada, so now I'm like, well, shit, I gotta try the Giada
restaurant. Yeah, man, take me to Flavortown.
Yeah, no!
We saw so many. It was like, you would turn a corner and be like, Guy Fieri presents Las Vegas, Guy Fieri's Flavortown, Guy Fieri's Flavor Fiesta. I was like, Jesus Christ, how many fucking flavor restaurants does this guy have?
Too many.
Too much flavor. Well, it feels like we're kind of coming towards the end of our Vegas discussion.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Would you go back to Vegas?
100%. I don't even have to think about it. I would go back. Anytime you want to go to Las Vegas, count me in.
Wow, all right.
Would you go back?
Oh, yeah.
Would you go back, like, right away? Or is it like you'd have to go there for a specific reason?
I think I gotta go there for a specific reason.
It's not gonna be like an annual thing for you.
I mean, it might be.
It could be.
It could be. Annual, you know, 12 months between seems like enough. Because this is, the other thing is like, I had a great time, but by the end of the trip, I was done. I was done. Just overstimulated and done.
Yeah, that is true.
And
yeah,
so.
It could be a lot.
Yeah. So much so that we ended up getting an earlier flight, but also, yeah. Also because.
That's true.
Also because we got through airport security fairly quickly and. We were just able to get on an earlier flight. I was like, I'm not sitting in the Las Vegas airport for another 4 hours.
Yes, the Las Vegas airport where there are slot machines.
Yep.
In the fucking airport, but and apparently, hot tip from one of our fucking Uber driver, one of our douchey Uber drivers was like, those slot machines at the airport hit really hard.
They
like,
actually pay
some
out.
Some guy just won $1 million there last week.
And I really should have just played him, but I was like, I can't.
And
there was
I was obsessed with this when we landed at like first day of the trip as we're going to, you know, find a taxi. There's a cake vending machine, like a vending machine that was like selling
yes.
slices of cake. And I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. And it's such a weird thing, like a fucking cake vending machine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I'm not talking like fucking snack cakes I'm talking like
actual slices of cake.
Somebody cut like a three-layer cake, like a three-tiered cake and like put it in like a fancy package.
Yeah.
It was like an upscale vending machine.
Was it the Cake Boss guy?
It might have been Cake Boss.
Yeah.
But I was like, fuck, I really want to get one of those pieces of cake. That's just so novel and weird. And when we were coming back and getting the earlier flight, I could not find the cake vending machine.
Yeah, I don't know if we left out of the same terminal that we landed in.
Yeah.
We also didn't go to the end of the terminal to like
yeah,
check.
So if you're in Vegas and you find that cake vending machine, take a picture of it for me.
Yeah.
And try the cake and tell me if it's any good.
Yeah. Please tell us.
Please, I want to know. It's been killing me.
But yeah, I would definitely go back to Vegas. I think you got to have like something to do. If it's like, all right, I'm planning to go to Omega Mart and eat at this place.
Right.
Great.
Get yourself a little slice of cake.
Get yourself a little slice of cake.
Why not? Hey, thanks for going to Vegas with me.
Hey, well, I've kind of spearheaded
this
trip.
Yeah, thanks for bringing us to Vegas, basically.
Thanks for coming with me.
No problem.
Thanks for being my travel buddy.
And thank all of you for listening.
Yes!
Oh, what a segue.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Fuck yes. Anytime.
I'm only here, you know, occasionally.
Well, you're always here in spirit, and you're always in the booth.
That is true.
Don't give away our magic tricks. You're always in the booth.
Yeah.
But.
No, I mean like on the show as a guest.
Yes, as a guest, yes.
Not just in the background yelling at you guys.
No. But yes, thank you for doing this show with me. And thank all of you for listening. We'll be back to our normal programming soon.
Yep.
And we hope you guys enjoyed this little trip down Las Vegas, down the Las Vegas Strip with us.
Dee-dah!